Claire and the Community by Harry Venning and David Ramsden. Episode 3, Meet the Press.
Schindler's List. I've been meaning to see this for years.
Me too. Apparently, it's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. Compelling, apparently.
Really powerful and moving.
Yeah. Harrowing mind.
Positively heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's a very distressing experience, by all accounts.
Emotionally devastating.
And quite rightly so.
Yeah, and all credit to Spielberg for having the courage to make such a challenging and important film on an epic scale.
Yeah, and to actually produce a masterpiece, which deserves its many Oscars.
Yeah. In fact, are we not compromising the integrity of Spielberg's vision by watching it on the small screen?
Television, I suspect, can't really do it justice.
Yeah, right. So perhaps we should wait a little longer till it shows up in rep at the film theatre.
Yeah, I'm going to turn over, out of respect.
And now on ITV, Heartbeat. And this week, a puppy is lost in Aidensfield.
We will go and see it, won't we?
Oh, of course we will.
Morning, Claire.
Irene, was that a police car I just saw leaving the car park?
It was.
Oh, and what brings the bully boys in blue goose-stepping their jackboots through our humble family centre?
They found your bike.
Oh, did they? Nice one. What's today's water cooler conversation?
It's Megan. She's got herself into a bit of a state and we were discussing whether to help her or not.
Yes, Helen. Emphatically yes. What is the point of being in a team if your fellow team members don't give you their total support? What's the problem?
She's trying to balance her care budget.
Finances. Then again, imagine how empowered she'll feel if she manages to do it all on her own.
That's what we thought.
Hello, Claire Barker.
Megan, where have you been?
Sorry, Ray, I couldn't phone from the hospital.
Hospital? What happened?
I was on a home visit to Mr. York, but he wouldn't answer his door, so I peeped through the letterbox, and there he was, slumped on the floor, blood and sick everywhere. I dialed 999, and next thing I know, we're in an ambulance, lights flashing, siren blaring, the lot. At the hospital, I explained I was Mr. York's social worker, but nobody was remotely interested, and they stuck me in the waiting room. 3 hours I was in there, with just a vending machine and a pile of OK magazines for company.
You lucky so-and-so.
3 whole hours.
So, what's happening?
Well, Mr. York is recovering, but he's had a massive heart attack.
No, not Mr. York. OK magazine.
Oh, come on in, Sophie. Please sit down.
Thank you for seeing me, Mr. Harris.
Oh, always happy to assist a member of the press. How's the new school magazine going?
I have the first issue here, sir. I've shown it to the headmistress. She's given her full approval.
Yeah, I look forward to reading it. So, which of your journalistic hats are you wearing today, huh? Editor? Photographer? Cartoonist? Political commentator? Crossword compiler?
Theatre correspondent.
Look, Sophie, if this is about the importance of being earnest, we've been over it many times. I had to give some of the others a chance. People were leaving Drama Club because you were always the star.
Actually, sir, being dropped from your production proved fortuitous. It meant I could redirect my energies into setting up the school magazine.
Yeah, you were not dropped, Sophie. You were rested.
Thank you, sir. But as far as I'm concerned, Ernest is old copy. The whisper I'm hearing is cabaret for next term.
I congratulate you on your sources.
Can you confirm?
Let's just say that wardrobe is scouting for lederhosen.
And what about casting? Do you have a Sally Bowles in mind?
Listen, Sophie, you've been offered a place at Oxford, right? There are exams coming up. Quite apart from producing the entire school magazine, you're captain of the chess team, first violin in the orchestra, and president of the Astronomy Society. I really don't think you need any more distractions at the moment.
I think it is a decision you'll come to regret, sir. Enjoy the magazine.
Well, team, after several months of squabbling, infighting and petty disagreements, I personally find it reassuring that we are still capable of making a unanimous decision. Can we have a show of hands? Carried. Nobody wants to go out for Christmas dinner together. Irene. You wanted to say something.
Anne's farewell party. I think that we should make an appearance. Well, she's been here years, and it's important that the team clerks know that we social workers, well, we don't take them for granted.
I completely agree. Who is Anne?
No idea.
Okay, so we've dealt with the new referrals, case allocation, updating the changes, feedback on training, dustbins, washing up, and the coffee fund. We've agreed that until someone owns up to eating the chocolates in the fridge, Helen, all Commil goodies will be kept under lock and key in my drawer. And can I ask for best behaviour Friday afternoon? Because we have the media coming into the office.
Sorry, Claire, what did you say?
The media, Helen. Come on, get with it. Liaising with the media is an everyday part of the modern social worker's job. I, for one, do not intend to make a big song and dance just because Jenny Murray will be planting her prestigious broadcaster's backside on one of our chairs and interviewing me for Radio 4's flagship production Woman's Hour. Now, if you'll all excuse me, I have a client to see.
Have you seen the school magazine?
Crikey, I haven't seen you this upset since the Planet of the Apes remake. What's up? Tell Uncle Simon.
Sophie Walton Gould. That's what's up.
Snotty little know-it-all in the upper six. Yeah, I know. Laughed at my flashcards.
I chucked her out of drama club. Best actor by far, but she just wouldn't take direction. She kept changing my lines. I won't have it, Simon. I just won't have it.
Took me all weekend to paint those flashcards.
Well, she certainly got her own back. In spades.
Well, this is all very professional for a school magazine. Staples and everything.
Page two. Take a look.
Enough to drive Oscar wild. As if the celebrated Irish playwright and poet hadn't suffered enough persecution in his lifetime, Mr. Harris's production of The Importance of Being Earnest should ensure his corpse keeps spinning well into the next century. Blimey, she didn't think much of your play, did she?
Well, if it were a fair and balanced review, I wouldn't mind. But this isn't an informed opinion, it's pure malice.
And not very well written either. Look, she spelt turgid with a G instead of a J.
Turgid is spelt with a G, and besides, it wasn't turgid.
In all fairness, old chap, the first half was a bit on the slow side.
Yeah, but it picked up in the second half.
Did it? I didn't go back in for the second half.
Okay, look, forget the review. Check these out.
Crikey. These are really rather good, aren't they? Regular little Leonardo R. Sophie. There's Trudy, yeah? Doris, headmistress. Oh, it's me! Ha! Oh, yeah, she's got a real talent for capturing a likeness, yeah?
Over the page.
That is brilliant!
It's cruel. That's what it is. Everyone else gets a gentle caricature. I'm transformed into a grotesque.
Yeah, but she's given you a whole page.
She's evil, Simon. Pure evil.
Oh, steady on. Granted, she's a bit of a snotball.
It's a vendetta.
I can't see it.
Exactly. That's the genius of it. Nobody can except me. And I can't say anything. Moaning about the review just looks like sour grapes. And I can't complain about the caricature without looking completely humourless. Headmistress has bought hers. Is going to have it framed.
What? So for selling them, how much is she asking?
For pity's sake, Simon, you'll just encourage her. Promise me you won't buy your cartoon.
I promise. Although, to be perfectly honest, Brian, I was thinking of buying the one of you.
So, Mr. Wembley, I think we've covered all the bases in regard to the care initiatives available to you. Do you have any questions?
Yes. What's wrong with you people?
Who?
You social workers. You're incapable of making an honest, spontaneous response.
And how does that make you feel?
There!
What?
You just did it then.
No, I didn't.
That wasn't spontaneous.
Yeah, it was.
That was just one of a selection of asinine, all-purpose stock responses you've been programmed to react with. Honestly, if I had a pound for every time a social worker had asked me, how does that make you feel?
And what feelings does that evoke?
Oh, for crying out loud! I bet you don't even know my first name.
Yes, I do, actually. It's... Hey! Give me my notes back!
See? You haven't got a clue.
Look, I have heard just about enough of this. I was going to use you as a case study in my interview with the BBC Woman's Hour. But now, I tell you, I'm seriously reconsidering it.
Woman's Hour?
Yeah, with Jenny Murray.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here are your notes.
Thank you very much. So we'll have no more of this nonsense.
Why should she be on the radio? I've got loads more experience than she has.
They'll regret it. She's got one of those horrible nasal whines that doesn't work on radio.
People will be trying to tune her in.
It's ridiculous! ridiculous. Social work needs a voice that is more broadly representative of the profession. Not another middle-class stuck-up sticky beak.
Okay, everyone, spit it out. What's the problem?
Claire, how can you justify excluding us from your radio interview when we work together as a team?
Yeah. Helen has a point, Claire. To focus on an individual social worker gives a completely distorted view on what this family centre is all about.
We operate as a mutually supportive unit. Our strength lies in the combination of the whole, not in its specific components.
Team, team, team. Did the Reverend Jesse Jackson let everybody get up and speak at the Million Man March? Hey, I would love you all to be on the radio with me, but can you imagine how unfocused our message would become? This is the 21st century. It's all about PR. And social work needs to update its image. The public need to know that we aren't all muesli-munching, beardy weirdies in socks and sandals.
Look, I only put the socks on because it was so cold this morning.
Look, this isn't about me. This is about our profession.
This isn't right.
It shouldn't just be about you.
Doing this interview on your own would be completely unfair.
You know something? I think you're right.
We are?
Yes. Which is why I am going to let Megan do the interview with me.
Megan! Me? Brilliant!
I think that Megan's attitude has been the most positive.
Oh, what shall I say?
Nothing. You just provide atmospheric noise.
Let us do something, please!
No. Woman's Hour is all about cutting-edge investigative journalism. The last thing they need is a bunch of slack-jawed yokels bleating in the background. Figuratively speaking, it's like, no offence.
The only reason you're doing this interview is because you were the one who answered the phone!
Well, actually, Irene, that just goes to show how little you know. They asked for me by name. Honestly, Brian, this is so typical of you. You've spent a lifetime abdicating responsibility. How dare you suddenly start calling me controlling and undermining?
Because that's what you are. You don't want me to take responsibility because any assertiveness on my part chips away at your pathetic little power core.
May I suggest you both try the wine?
No, that's actually very nice. Very nice. Yeah. It's a hint of wood.
Hi, Claire. Hi, Brian. Would it be rude of us to join you? I thought, since you're just around the corner, why don't we nip round and make up a foursome, like last night.
And the night before.
Before that.
Just us. Two couples, coupled together in coupley-coupledom. And besides, I believe Simon has a question for Brian.
Well, yeah, here goes. I consider you my best mate, Brian. I moved here under a bit of a cloud, as everybody knows. When I showed up at school, the rest of the staff were a bit sniffy, except for you. I can never repay all your kindness, but here's a little token in the meantime. I want you to be my best man.
Oh, my God. This can't be happening.
Well, I must say, that wasn't the reaction I expected.
Brian, what's wrong?
Cheek! Flaming cheek following me to the restaurant!
We can move to another table if we're intruding.
Excuse me, but I'm going to have to sort this out.
Hey, where are you going, old man?
Oh, ignore him. He does this. He walks off, creates a fuss, and then he realises that nobody's taking a blind bit of notice and he comes back. Except for the time his appendix burst.
Yeah, I think I know what the problem is. Pass me the magazine in his jacket and I'll show you. Yeah, there. No. You mustn't laugh.
It's absolutely brilliant. It looks just like him.
Yes, it does. I think that's the problem.
Oh, poor Brian. It isn't the most flattering picture.
No, he is very sensitive about his weight at the moment. You know, just the other day, I told him, you know, you're developing breasts, and he completely flew off the handle.
Yeah, I'd better go see if he's okay.
So, Brian's going to be Simon's best man, then.
Simon's really excited.
Yeah. Still, we can't let the men have it all their own way. You will need a maid of honour.
I've already got one. I asked Irene this afternoon.
Oh, all right, you asked Irene. Yeah, okay. Well, she, you know, she'll do a good job.
She'll be superb.
You know, Helen, I'm having second thoughts about using Megan on the radio. It's quite a responsibility. I can't help feeling it needs someone with a little bit more experience. Would you consider it?
Yes, Claire, I would. Would you like to be my maid of honour?
I would love to. But what about Irene?
Well, it's not as though anyone signed any contracts.
thing is, Brian, I really do think that I might have a talent for this media lot. I mean, Woman's Hour, they haven't said exactly what they want from me, but I expect they want me to present the human face of social work kind of thing. And who knows where that might lead? I mean, you get celebrity chefs, celebrity decorators, even celebrity estate agents. Why not a celebrity social worker? There is a definite gap in the market. Hey, how about social work with some kind of reality TV angle on it? Like a Big Brother house, only it's a care home, and the viewers get to decide who receives 24-hour residential care and who gets voted out into the community. No, actually, maybe not. But if this interview goes well, who knows where it might lead? I mean, radio's all well and good, but it's hardly where the mass audiences are. Do you think I should get an agent, Brian? Brian, I mean, honestly, you've hardly spoken 6 words all night. Are you still angry with me?
Yes.
Why? It was Simon who showed it to us.
And it was you who showed it to the waiter.
Oh, come on. It's just a bit of a laugh.
Not for me.
What's wrong? Why have you stopped?
It's her.
Who?
The girl. The girl from the school magazine.
Where? I can't see anyone.
She's gone now. It's what she does. Just lets you catch a glimpse and then vanishes.
Brian, you are really giving me the creeps here. What are you talking about?
Okay, I dropped her from the drama club's production of The Importance of Being Earnest, and she's had it in for me ever since. The review, the caricature, the poem, now she's following me. I saw her across the road from the restaurant.
Look, calm down, Brian. You are displaying textbook paranoia.
Paranoid, am I? Well, what's that hanging on our railings?
A handbag. Oh, for crying out loud, Brian. How am I supposed to get to sleep with you leaping out of bed and running to the window every 10 minutes?
She's out there. Somewhere I can sense her.
Oh, Sean, I am nervous enough as it is. It's a big day for me tomorrow. What if she does a Paxman on me?
Do you think I'm letting things get out of proportion?
The trouble is, when I get nervous, I tend to really sweat and throw up and nosebleed. And get diuretic and faint.
Right, I saw a handbag left there by a bag thief. The fact that the handbag is pivotal to the plot of The Importance of Being Earnest is pure coincidence.
But I suppose it's not as though it's going out live. You know, there'll be retakes. They'll just edit out the mistakes.
She's a schoolgirl, right? What do I have to fear from a schoolgirl?
I think I should probably just relax and enjoy it.
Thanks for listening, Claire.
Thank you, Brian. I tell you what, if this interview goes well, I'd really fancy a shot at question time.
Maybe we were a bit hard on Claire. I mean, I think she is genuinely keen on promoting our profession, and we need all the friends we can get. Frankly, I think our public relations has reached crisis point.
Oh, don't be so melodramatic, Helen.
Listen to this in the paper. For how much longer must we tolerate their cack-handed intrusiveness? It's about time Britain told this army of jumped-up, self-appointed, PC-spouting busybodies where to shove their case reports.
Mm-hmm. We've always been soft targets for editors. Look, if you're going to let that crap get to you, then stop reading tabloids. Stick to The Guardian.
This is The Guardian.
Said I could do it with you.
Megan, I have explained. Helen's seniority and years of experience means that she is best qualified to make the noises in the background. Besides, this is Radio 4. They would never have let you do a big shout-out to Auntie Moira in Dumfries.
Now I'll have to phone her up and tell her not to bother listening.
What can I say, Megan, except I think there'll be plenty more opportunities.
Sorry, I was just a bit disappointed. Look, Claire, this is your big day and I don't want to spoil it. Honestly, I can't believe you're not nervous. I mean, I'd be splacking my weekies, as Grandad used to say. I couldn't do it. I mean, a walk-on's one thing, but you wouldn't find me placed beneath the blinding glare of public scrutiny carrying the mantle of our profession. Claire, are you okay? You're white as a sheet.
She looks terrible.
Shall I get her some water?
I think she's going to faint. Someone get her a chair. No, not my chair.
Just put your head between your knees. Yeah, that's right. Deep breaths.
Irene, can I have a quick word? Over here.
I know what you're going to say, Ray, and I agree. She's no fit state to do the interview. Someone's going to have to take over.
I would have liked a little bit more time to prepare, but...
You?
Yes, me.
It's Woman's Hour, Ray. They're going to want a woman...
That is so narrow.
I know what you two are up to. If anyone's going to do this interview, it's going to be me. I've been here longest.
Oh, for goodness sake, what are you talking about? You can't go on the radio.
You certainly can't. I've done radio interviews before.
Thank you all for your concern. You'll all be pleased to know that I feel a lot better. It's just a touch of nerves. I am a little disappointed in you, Helen. I'm recasting the interview. Helen, you're dropped. Megan, you're reinstated.
What?
Hooray!
What's the time?
5 to 1.
Claire, you haven't told me what I'm doing yet.
You're in the background, providing atmosphere.
Doing what?
Oh, you know, bringing me a file, that kind of thing.
Which file?
Ah, the blue one. It doesn't matter. It's radio. Jenny is going to be here in a minute. Everyone just go about your business and act normally.
Hi, I'm looking for Claire Barker.
Yeah, that's me. You're going to have to be quick, because I've got a very important interview in a few minutes.
That will be with me, Sophie Walton-Gould. Pleased to meet you.
Hang on, I think there's been some mistake. I am being interviewed by Jenny Murray.
Oh, Jenny sends her apologies. Something's come up. What we normally do in these circumstances is conduct the interview and then edit Jenny in later.
Right, so you're going to be asking me the questions.
That's it.
You're a researcher, then?
Something like that. Shall we get started?
Shouldn't you have a tape recorder?
I've a dictaphone. Can we go somewhere private?
The interview room. Follow me.
She was very young.
They've got children making their programmes these days. No wonder the BBC's going down the pan.
So, Sophie, this is all a little bit new to me. How do we go about this?
Well, not...
Here's the blue file you asked for.
Not yet, Megan.
Sorry.
Well, basically, we are trying to present the human face of social work. This is about Claire the person, not Claire the professional.
What do you mean?
For instance, your domestic setup. Do you have a partner?
Let me stop you there, Sophie. I don't want to appear unhelpful, but that area of my life is strictly off limits.
Oh, that is a shame. Oh, but I do understand. Perhaps I should interview one of your colleagues instead.
He's a teacher and his name's Brian.
So why does Shakespeare fail to provide Lady Macbeth with a journey from murderer to madwoman? Well, one theory is that the... okay, class, we'll continue this on Monday. Have a good weekend.
Sir?
Sophie?
Can I have a word, please?
Actually, I'm in a bit of a rush.
It is important.
I'm sure it is, but I haven't the time...
Sit down.
Sophie?
Sit down, sir. Thank you. I want Sally Bowles. I was born to play Sally Bowles.
Well, you can't, at least not in my production. It's cast.
Well, uncast it.
No, end of story. You can't intimidate me, Sophie. You think you've played a clever game, but I've seen you all along. Outside the restaurant?
What restaurant?
Following me home Tuesday night?
I have orchestra Tuesday night.
The handbag?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Sir, I don't want to be rude, but I have chess club in 10 minutes. Can I get on with my blackmail?
Blackmail?
She's very chatty, your girlfriend, isn't she?
What?
Couldn't shut her up, in fact. Especially about you, Tigger.
How did you...
How I did isn't really the question. What Claire said should be of more concern to you.
My God, you really are evil. You set up the interview with Claire. You've impersonated Jenny Murray. I have absolutely no interest in...
You know, you can hear it if you want. All of it is pretty juicy, so I can more or less stop at random.
Pants. Mountains of underpants left by the bed, which I can't understand, because he never seems to change them. And he picked it and picked it until it went septic. I asked him to take them off. I'm sorry, but I just don't find that kind of thing sexy. And I said to him, look, it affects 1 in 10 men, Brian. It's no big deal.
All right, you made your point. But do you really think the headmistress will let you put that stuff in the school magazine?
School magazine? Credit me with some ambition. Tell me, sir, have you heard of the internet?
I will not be intimidated by you, young lady.
They say that one is always bigger than the other.
Okay!
Sally Bowles?
Sally Bowles.
But by the time I referred him onto the drug and alcohol team, he'd had enough and had gone back to Scotland. 3 days' work for nothing.
Can we drop the case study for one night, Claire?
What's your problem?
Well, my problem is a girlfriend who regards her client's problems as more important than her partner's.
Oh, this is typical of you, Brian. You just don't listen to me. I have never said that your problems aren't as important as my client's. Your problems are every bit as important. They just aren't as interesting.
Huh? Well, how about this for interesting? One of my students has been collecting incriminating information about me and is using it to blackmail her way into the school play. It's the student I told you about, right? The student who would stop at nothing to get her way, even impersonating a Radio 4 researcher to interview you about my private life.
What?
It was a fraud.
I'm not going to be on the radio.
Sorry.
Sorry. Sorry. Do you know the effect that this news is going to have on everyone in the office? It's going to break their hearts.
Claire, Auntie Moira's ringing me twice a day. Have they still not given you a date for appearing on Woman's Hour?
We won't be appearing on Woman's Hour, Megan. I got it out of Brian last night. The whole radio interview thing was a student hoax.
Claire, I've been religiously listening to every edition of Woman's Hour for the last 6 weeks. 6 weeks, Claire! Oh, thank God we weren't on you and yours. That's all I can say.
The embarrassing thing is that the whole office has been listening.
No, they haven't. They stopped ages ago.
Really?
Really.
Helen?
Yes, Claire?
Did you catch Women's Hour today?
No, I didn't.
How about you, Ray?
No.
Irene?
Me neither.
What a shame. Because I was on it.
Were you? Oh,
yeah, I was. Oh, you should have heard it. I said to her, don't give me an easy ride, and by crikey, they didn't. Jenny's introduction, it was very complimentary. It's a bit too gushy, even, if you ask me. I mean, I'm only doing a job, you know, and calling me a saint. It's kind of, that clouds the issue. So it's like, what a shame, though, that you all missed it.
Never mind, we'll go on the Listen Again website.
On the what?
The Listen Again website. You can hear all the shows you missed first time round.
Can you? Really? Hooray!
You said she could do anything.
Apparently not. You've been listening to Claire and the Community by Harry Benning and David Ramsden, starring Sally Phillips, Nina Conti, Gemma Craven, Alex Lowe, Richard Lumsden, Ellen Thomas and Andrew Wincott, with John Cummins and Alex Tregear. The producer was Katie Tyrrell.